Who would you say is your favorite president of all time?
Oh, got to be Donald Trump right there.
45.
45.
That was exactly what my answer was going to be.
Of course.
I learned a little tidbit about Donald Trump.
Okay.
Recently, you know, he
has lore, new lore just dropped.
He has his little mannerisms that pop off sometimes. You know, he's always like, not enough people are talking about this.
So true.
No one's talking about this. You know, he's got his little things that he does.
Fake news.
He's got his things that he does. I learned one of his things that he started doing. I don't know if it was recently or if he's always done this.
Okay.
But I know he did it when he was president. Ooh. I heard that Donald Trump, when he's at his rallies, when he's finished giving his rallies, he'll walk off, right?
Yeah.
And he'll have, like, music playing as he leaves. You know, he's at a rally. And then he will time the takeoff of Air Force One with the song. Like,
fuck,
with the beats in the song.
That's hard.
Bro's got outro
music.
That's
hard as fuck. Oh, my God.
Bro's got outro music. Isn't that incredible?
You're going to... Yeah, I bet they're just on the next projector at the next rally. You're just going to see lo-fi beats. And it's like that that black circle with, like, the fucking... Yeah. Going around it, just going crazy lo-fi when Air beats, Force but One takes off.
Instead of the girl at the desk, it's Donald Trump at the desk.
Oh, facts. It's just...
And he's writing executive orders.
Oh, he's doing EOs.
Pipeline for liberal tears.
Oh, shit.
Signed.
You see
law.
Air Force One in the background, like through the window. Like they frame it so that you can see it take off through the window. And like as it goes by on screen, it goes by in real life.
If you were in any way not sure if Donald Trump's an actual child, there's your confirmation. Dude is being investigated in several states throughout the United States for his crimes. And bro's playing outro music as he flies away.
Facts.
That's
outro
sick.
Music, mid. Intro music, fire.
That's
roll
right.
Roll it.
Got you. Welcome back to Head in the Office, everybody. The political news machine kept on churning. You guys said, we need another episode. How could we say no?
Thanks. You guys said, we cannot wait for the next episode. And we said, I'll have to oblige.
How could I? How
Unless
could I
you're
tell
a
you
patron.
No.
In fact, I'll have to make you wait a day late.
Yeah.
But, ooh.
Well, we couldn't say no to another episode. And today, we got to talk about an update on the FBI raid. Trump's got a little trouble
Lots
domestically.
Lots of Donald Trump going on.
And... geopolitically. We got to talk about geopolitics. That's right. We're restaking our claim, reestablishing
every
our claim
once every like 3 weeks. We got to make sure y'all know.
Exactly. Exactly. We got some news out of Florida. So that's exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime you know we're talking about Florida, it's going to be upsetting.
A banger.
And we got to talk about Liz Cheney taking an L.
Ooh.
Our queen, Liz Cheney. Queen Cheney.
No, rip. Big rip.
And we'll sprinkle some other stuff in there, but that's the general outline of the episode today.
Things, you know what's going on.
Before we get into everything, though. I'm going to implore y'all to go check out the Patreon if you haven't already.
Absolutely.
Go check out our merch, headintheoffice.com. It's all in the description.
Facts.
YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Discord. You're probably from TikTok.
Oh
hello.
Gosh.
You're from TikTok. Welcome home.
Well, for real.
Stay a while. Kick off your shoes. Exactly. Relax. Get some popcorn. And yeah, check out what we got in our description. We also, as always, we got the abortion resources in our description where you can find Plan B, where you can find an abortion clinic in your state, find your state laws, et cetera, et cetera. But it's
and
all there.
For the like one person listening who might have found us on Reels. Shout out you.
Oh, you're a real one. You're a real one.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
What can I say? I'm just that guy today. But before we get into the episode formally, we got to read our 5-star reviews.
Of course.
I think last week, did we not have any?
I think it was either last week or the week before where we had none, zilch, zero.
Well, either way, I was violently disappointed in all of you.
I cried.
I was like, this is on you.
You brought me to
Anytime
tears.
Anytime something good happens to us, it was us that did it.
Mm-hmm.
Anything bad that happens, it's your fault.
Facts.
Make sure, leave a 5-star review if you want your review read on the show. It really helps us out. It's a free way to do it. Leave some comments on our YouTube video, too.
Got to.
Boost us in the algorithm. But we got 3 reviews today.
Okay.
You want to do a I take 1 and 3, you got 2?
Of course.
Let's do
of
it.
Of course.
First one here by Karen. Subject line, best political podcast ever. They say, hey guys, I'm a 16-year-old black girl that goes to a private Christian school.
That's tough.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Oftentimes it can be hard to find people in my community that have the same political beliefs as me. So listening to this podcast on the way to school and back is a great refresher from all of the nonsense that I hear from my peers on a daily basis. Keep up the amazing work. Appreciate both of you so much. Love you both. You know what?
That's got to be so jarring.
Good luck.
I wish you luck. Dude, that's got to be so jarring going from us. To your private Christian peers.
Oh, yeah.
Then back to us. That's crazy.
Quite the juxtaposition.
What a sandwich.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I hope things improve for you. If you're in a red state, Godspeed.
On God.
Godspeed. You got the second one?
I got the second one. Let's Top tier political podcast by Hitto, stan. We got stans now.
Let's go.
I can't recommend you Hitto enough. Ever since I saw them on TikTok, I've been impatiently waiting for new episodes every week. 1,000 out of 10 would listen again. Now, the Reels listener, I need you to comment. Ever since I saw you guys on Reels. Ever since I saw one of your tweets.
We've had plenty of people that said, ever since I saw you on TikTok. Ever since I caught a clip on TikTok. Like, we be posted on Instagram, too.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Come on, go follow the Instagram.
It's usually just the same stuff, but it's all good. That's all that matters. It's all good. Our last review here is by Ya 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 La 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 La.
Okay.
I think. The subject line, claps hands, closes eyes, inhales. They say, said in increasing loudness, bruh, 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 all caps.
Wonderful.
I can't believe I have not heard of this hilarious, informative work of spoken art before, and now my poultry ears have been grazed by the sweet, buttery, dulcet tones of these two gorgeous, gorgeous gents. Super knowledgeable, hilarious banter. Makes staying updated on politics, both of the at-home and geo varieties, enjoyable. This is, in fact, a certified hood classic.
That's right. That's right.
I absolutely agree.
This is a certified hood classic.
What a banger. And just remember, gorgeous, gorgeous gents, listen to Hitto. Gorgeous, gorgeous girls, listen to Hitto. Gorgeous, gorgeous theys and everyone else in between.
That's right.
Listen to Hitto.
Only pretty people listen to Hitto.
On God.
You know what I'm saying?
On God. Two pretty best friends, they listen to Hitto.
Yeah, they listen to Hitto, and sometimes they have tummy aches. You know what I'm saying?
My goodness. That's just sometimes. How it
be. Getting right into the news here today, we got to talk about the FBI raid and a little bit of geopolitics starting off. So you all may remember. Last week, we covered the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago, and we mentioned that the FBI was trying to recover some nuclear documents.
We mentioned the FBI was covering nuclear documents, and we mentioned that every week, the world, the real life world that we live in, is getting closer and closer to the world that Hillary Clinton and Louis Benny imagined in their New York Times bestseller, State of Terror.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I can take it anymore because the same rings true this week.
Yeah, I'm gonna suggest that all of you go listen to our first Hitto Book Club, our first and only episode of Hitto Book Club, where we covered State of Terror. And because spoiler alert, we're about to reveal the plot.
It's real life
because it's
real life.
It's real now. So as we mentioned, some information about this has surfaced regarding nuclear documents. You may recall that one of the main arguments from conservatives was that Trump declassified all of this before he left. Mm-hmm. Therefore, he didn't actually commit a crime. The FBI didn't need to raid him. First of all, he didn't do that.
Yeah.
Second of all, if it's nuclear documents, that doesn't matter. You can't declassify those.
Yeah, you're not allowed to declare any documents that are personal if they have any importance to how government functions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a high bar to clear.
And nuclear documents may be the most important for our national security. Keep in mind, we don't have the full story here because a lot of information is still classified, so we don't have everything. And some of this is going to be subject to change, but we're talking specifically about nukes today.
The judge did say that he'll be releasing the affidavit, although most of it will be redacted. Understandably.
Yeah.
But it's funny because there's a really big conversation going around right now about the witness. Like who's the snitch? Who's the rat? Who's the mole? And I saw a lot of people say that it might be Jared Kushner. And I think that would be so fucking funny.
My gut reaction there was no, because we're about to talk about him. But now that I think about it, it might be him.
That would be
if
hilarious.
He got an immunity deal, potentially, because there's a lot in here that's like crimes against the United States, treasonous behavior. But to give you all some context, back in 2019, House Democrats, they were doing an investigation of the Trump administration, and they revealed that Michael Flynn, our resident QAnoner and former national security advisor,
gotta love him.
He had the ball rolling on straight up selling nuclear technology to Saudi Arabia.
So fun.
That was one of Michael Flynn was only there for a month.
That's like
because he got fired.
Third country that he illegally dealt with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wild.
He was working on selling technology, nuclear technology, to Saudi Arabia. Very, very bad. Michael Flynn was also, as I just mentioned, fired because he was illegally negotiating on behalf of the United States with Russia.
Oh, yeah.
Which is against the law.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't face any time for it, especially because Trump pardoned him later on.
Trump pardoned him. It's a really complicated process. He got into a plea deal, admitted that he lied to the FBI.
Yes.
And then months later, he said, actually, nope, I'm recanting this plea deal. I'm actually not guilty.
Yeah. And keep in mind, Michael Flynn is somebody that Obama told Trump, like, hey, don't hire this guy.
Uh-huh.
We looked at him for a job within the National Security administrative apparatus.
Yeah.
And we decided this guy's bad news.
That's
because
crazy.
He's working on behalf of like interest groups while
Russia
also
and
trying
Turkey.
To yeah. They told the Trump administration, don't hire this dude, and Trump did it anyway, and here we are.
Silly goofy mood.
So now at this time, There's not any clear connections between Trump stealing White House documents. We know that he stole some amount of nuclear documents, but there's no connection right now between him stealing those documents and trying to sell them or show them to the Saudis.
Like, no direct connection. Yeah. It's not explicit.
But there's a piece in the Philadelphia Inquirer, which I will put in our description if you all want to look. Check our sources. Fact check us. There's a piece in the Philadelphia Inquirer that illustrates and draws connections between the Michael Flynn deal with Saudi Arabia and now Trump possibly showing Saudi Arabia nuclear documents, which would literally just be treason.
Wild. Absolutely fucking wild.
So let's think about some things to consider from this Philadelphia Inquirer piece I found. So Michael Flynn, Trump, and Trump allies, as I mentioned, had some kind of deal going on with Saudi Arabia to sell them nuclear documents, and they all would benefit from the 2017 sale, which is when it was happening, of nuclear technologies to Saudi Arabia. Michael Flynn would benefit because he's working on behalf of various interest groups, which, again, is illegal.
Get the bag.
Trump would benefit, clearly, because he wants to be close to Saudi Arabia, and he's friends with dictators, generally. And Trump had a bunch of allies within the administration that wanted to get this done. It's unclear if the deal ever went through.
Yeah.
I think Michael Flynn, when he testified either the first time or later on, said, like, well, it's a done deal. Like, there's nothing you can do about it. But dude is, like, a nonstop liar. Can't help himself.
Lying to the FBI, then lying to the judge. Yeah. Just lying for fun.
Not entirely sure. Jared Kushner had a strangely close relationship with Mohammed bin Salman, which is the crown prince of Saudi Arabia, if you don't know. MBS also famous for killing an American journalist, and Jared Kushner famous for not doing anything about it.
Oh, yeah. Trump also famous for saying, that's business, baby.
Yeah.
That's business.
You all probably remember when Jamal Khashoggi, American journalist, was killed by Saudi Arabia. Literally killed
executed
by MBS's orders.
Yeah.
And they did nothing about it. And then also Jared Kushner, earlier this year, got $2 billion.
With a B.
$2 billion from Saudi Arabia into his private equity venture, literally out of nowhere, at the behest of Mohammed bin Salman. So that was really interesting. And also the Saudi government scheduled their controversial new pro golf tour to take a stop at Mar-a-Lago. So we have a lot of connections here.
Get you a friend like Mohammed bin Salman.
No, literally. Someone very powerful that'll like kill
for real
your political enemy.
Maybe $2 billion?
So it's pretty clear the Trump administration, the Trump family, has a lot of connections with Saudi Arabia, and they benefit a lot from the money that Saudi Arabia gives them because, frankly, they're kind of just a criminal enterprise at this point. So obviously, they've been very close, which has led some to speculate that Trump took the nuclear documents specifically, one, because he's a child and he thinks everything in the White House was just his, but also because he wanted to share these documents with the Saudis. Again, it's not we don't know if it's 100% true, but if it is, that's fucking crazy.
I think it's funny that the biggest thing shielding him, like, from liability with this is the idea that he could have not known there were nuclear documents in those cases, which I highly doubt. And we only know that there's a chance that there's actual doubt that he could have not known because he famously just loaded up boxes full of information and had them shipped to Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
Just a shit ton of boxes just gone.
Yeah. Insane. Absolutely insane. And again, if this is true, this is like, this is the highest possible level of treason.
Huge.
Like, you all probably remember back in 2019, early 2020, when Donald Trump was being impeached for his secret dealings with Ukraine, right? He said that he was going to hold up military funding, which is already approved by Congress, for Ukraine, until Ukraine, or specifically Vladimir Zelensky, found dirt on Joe Biden, right? Like, that was the big controversy. That's what got him impeached. And then, of course, January 6th. But this...
Yeah.
This is like the highest level of treason that I can imagine.
I can understand if you saw the Ukraine thing and you're like, maybe that's not like as big of a deal. But this though?
Yes.
Saudi Arabia?
Saudi Arabia.
State sponsors of terrorism?
State sponsor of terrorism. Also a state sponsor of the terrorist group that attacked us on 9/11.
Wild.
How can you claim to, how can you ever claim to be America first? And you're selling nuclear documents to a country that helped orchestrate 9/11.
Carla Sands in the Pennsylvania GOP primary debate, if y'all remember our coverage on that, went so hard on Dr. Oz for like having to serve 2 years in the Turkish military because he was born there or some shit. Mm-hmm. Like he was a Turkish citizen for having to serve 2 years and said that makes him Turkey first. However, I'm sure she was for the pardon of Michael Flynn and she just dick rides the fuck out of Trump. Absolute just dick eating this dude. And he goes and does this and nothing. Yeah. It's all a political attack.
Yeah, no, nobody from the right is ever going to critique him.
Yeah.
No, everyone from the right is coming to his defense when it comes to this FBI raid
stuff. The power he holds is
fucking
insane.
Absolutely insane, especially because, like, when you consider how much money he's gotten and his family has gotten from not only Saudi Arabia, mm-hmm. but also his kids' deals in places like China and Russia, you start to realize like this whole criminal enterprise relies on constantly getting new truckloads of cash that they can use to continue the fraudulent activities that they're doing. They're all frauds up and down.
When you realize that all of his Make America Great Again merch is made in China, the wheels start turning a little bit.
Yeah. No, it's all just a fucking, not even a, it's worse than a pyramid scheme. It's significantly worse than, like, it's just, he's scamming all of his supporters, he's lying to everybody, and his entire administration, all of his allies are corrupt up and down.
Completely undermining democracy in of itself, we'll talk about later. It's insane.
Like, imagine, like, we hear about terrorist attacks all the time still, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's not as much as previously, but after 9/11, we did whole operations in other countries. Yeah. We occupied Afghanistan for 20-plus years. Just, like, imagine if terrorist groups that receive funding from countries like Saudi Arabia mm-hmm. had nukes, dirty bombs, that they could just drop on, like, American
knew
infantry.
All of our right. secrets, like nuclear technology, anything.
That's an insane level of treasonous activity, betraying your own country, and he's still gonna run on being America first.
That's crazy.
And I guarantee you Democrats really will not call him out for this. So
I think it's funny. Democrats won't call him out for this. Republicans certainly won't call him out for this, but it reminds me of when didn't somebody ask Ted Cruz, would you suck a dick to save someone's life?
Yeah.
And Ted Cruz says no. But however, will I defend the president? Will I put Trump's dick in my mouth if it means that I let him get away with possibly selling nuclear secrets to a state sponsor of terrorism? Maybe.
Yeah, no, I'd do that though.
I'd suck dick to kill somebody.
Oh, Ted Cruz, you wouldn't suck dick to end world hunger, but you would get you would fucking deep throat Donald Trump every single day if it meant you could get reelected. We see where your priorities are. And some other smaller FBI news. As Gage mentioned before, Trump supporters and Trump are urging the FBI to drop the unredacted affidavit.
Yes.
Probably to kill FBI informants.
Trump already released the names of the agents that, like, raided the house as if they weren't just, like, doing their job.
And then people, like, attacked FBI headquarters. Did someone, like, bring a bomb?
Someone brought a gun. They protested outside the Phoenix FBI headquarters. There was another incident at another place. It was crazy.
And I mean, obviously the FBI is not going to release an unredacted affidavit. I think there was some judge that said you have like a week to release an affidavit, because it's of public interest and you can redact what you want, but you have to have it out in a week because the public needs to know about this, needs to have all the information, which I think is fine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like they're not going to just give you names.
Oh, you know, especially not because if and when this does go to trial, all of this will be public information. Yeah. When we find out Jared Kushner's the mole.
No, low key, my theory here is that Jared Kushner knows he's up to his nose in it. Uh-huh. Ivanka Trump previously already kind of sold out her dad on January 6th stuff during the committee hearings.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe Jared Kushner, knowing that he literally has blood money from Saudi Arabia, is trying to get out of this. He's willing to sell out Donald Trump if it means
Jared
he can be
Kushner
a free man.
Got into the family, made bands on bands on bands, ratted on him, dipped out. Hero of democracy, honestly.
Maybe he's the vanguard.
Maybe he's the cool Hunter Biden of the family.
No, really, though. Donald Trump and his supporters are also calling to release the footage of Mar-a-Lago of the raid happening because they have like cameras and stuff set up there. And the only reason I can think he wants to do this is because it's not going to reveal anything.
Oh, no.
Right? It's an FBI, the FBI searching for stuff. Mm-hmm. And they have the tapes. Like, it's nothing. I don't think it's going to reveal anything new, but it will rile up his supporters.
Oh, yeah, no, it's going to be like, because when you get raided by, like, police and shit, they go in, they fuck up your place.
Oh, yeah.
They absolutely demolish
everything.
It was
a panty
raid. Exactly. And it's fucking fine whenever they do it to some innocent black person that they thought was a drug dealer, right?
Yeah.
But as soon as you do it to President Donald Trump, all the Republicans are going to be crying ACAB again. They're going to be up in arms crying ACAB.
As soon as you investigate the former president who stole nuclear documents and tried to share them with a country that supports terrorism, then it's bad. Then it's ACAB. Mm-hmm. But if the police raids and kills like three black people, even though they didn't have any drugs, it was actually a false flag. That's fine.
And it's like, I'm sure they didn't even go that crazy on the Mar-a-Lago raid. I'm sure they just went in, opened their things, were very respectful, and just did their thing.
They waited till he was gone. They coordinated with the Secret Service that was
there. Which is wild. Like they got to hate him.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it wasn't anything. He just wants to release the footage so it would get people pissed off.
Yeah.
So, anyways. Moving on to some domestic trouble for Donald Trump, though.
Oh, yeah.
Moving on from our geopolitical arc of this episode, we got to talk about Georgia. and we got to talk about New York. He's mm-hmm. in trouble in both states. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about Georgia starting off. So known Trump supporter and human hemorrhoid Lindsey Graham was recently ordered by a U.S. district judge to testify in front of a grand jury for his attempts to overturn the 2020 election results in Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
But didn't you say earlier
that
he got
off? Yeah, it came out. Yes. Good thing we're recording Monday, patrons. So yeah. Suck it.
Yeah.
Sunday, yeah. Like later Sunday night, a federal judge actually took Lindsey Graham's side and said that he doesn't have to testify on Tuesday because Lindsey Graham is arguing some fucking stupid section of the Constitution that does a dumb thing, mm-hmm. says that a seated senator does not have to testify in court.
Yeah. So specifically it's just, about like senatorly activities.
Yeah, about legislation. About yeah. legislative activity. And so now it's going back to a lower court and he'll probably have to testify in like a month.
Yeah, yeah. That kind of blows up my section a little bit.
Yeah, but, yeah. You know how the news be.
We can still go through it just a little bit and talk about what still does exist. So this grand jury is investigating if Trump and his allies knowingly broke the law and attempting to overturn the Georgia election results. We know that Graham and Donald Trump and several mm-hmm. allies had phone calls with Brad Raffensperger, who is the current Secretary of State in Georgia.
Yeah.
Famously, Donald Trump called Raffensperger 4 days before Congress confirmed Biden's win.
Insane.
And he urged him to find 11,780 votes, which just happened to be the exact amount he needed to win the state's electoral votes.
Crazy.
So that's pretty interesting. As I said, the order from the judge was going to require Graham to appear before the jury and testify tomorrow
yep.
for us on Tuesday, August 23rd. But obviously, that's not happening now.
Yeah, so now he'll probably still have to testify. Interesting, Rudy Giuliani testified last week. He was in the court for like hours, and that's what I really want to know about.
Because
what does really Rudy Giuliani have to lose at this point? He was already disbarred.
Yeah.
Like, he
yeah.
already can't practice law anymore. Rat him out.
Yeah.
Snitch.
So, initially, this argument was rejected by the judge, but I guess now it's been accepted. I have a yeah. quote from PBS here. They said, quote, Graham also argued that Willis, the Fulton County DA, who's also a Democrat, mm-hmm. had not demonstrated extraordinary circumstances necessary to compel testimony from a high-ranking official. The judge disagreed originally. Finding that Willis had shown extraordinary circumstances and a special need for Graham's testimony on issues related to the alleged attempt to influence or disrupt election in Georgia. The election in Georgia. So that's tough. That's yeah. tough that he's not going to testify.
And then it was a federal judge that went and said, yeah. Nope.
Yeah. I really love this argument, though, of like, if I try to overturn an election and I'm a sitting senator, you can't say anything.
You can't. It's the legislation, baby.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. But Banana Republic is when Trump gets raided, not when our political elites can just dodge testifying about things that about crimes they tried to commit
yeah.
and did commit.
Yeah. Not when one of those powerful people in the country can do whatever they want
literally
and never have
anything.
To answer for it.
In some New York news, though, moving on from Georgia, former Trump Organization CFO Alan Weisselberg pled guilty to tax fraud, and he faces 5 months in jail.
It's been a bad week for Trump. It's yeah. been an awful week for Trump. This shit is gas.
Yeah, Trump's bad week, for real. Trump's bad week.
Trump's horrible, no good, very bad week.
Yeah. Apparently, this was a scheme from Trump Organization executives to pay their top executives, quote, off the books mm-hmm. for the last 15 years or so. Weisselberg, he was accused of not paying taxes on about $2 million of extra compensation.
Wild.
This is things like cars from the company. They paid for his rent in like a Manhattan apartment, which is mm-hmm. super expensive. I think they paid for one of his kids' tuition to college. So it's just extra compensation so they can avoid taxes,
yeah.
basically.
Yeah.
Which is
shit
insane.
That isn't just cold hard cash.
Insane that we haven't figured this out. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, how are we not monitor
like you'd
this?
Be able to see that. You know?
Yeah, yeah. He'll have to pay about $2 million in unpaid taxes and penalties assigned by the court, but he did plead guilty, and he's also agreed to testify when the Trump Organization as a whole faces trial sometime later this year, I think in October.
Gas.
Which is heat.
That's going to be crazy. Part of his plea deal, he has to testify against uh-huh. him now, and he said, Weisselberg, the company statement said, pleaded guilty in an effort to put this matter behind him and get on with his life.
Yeah.
Bro's going nuts. He's going to be going in.
That's crazy. Trump's whole criminal network is just falling apart on him.
Chief financial officer, the dude who probably orchestrated this whole fucking company-wide scheme
yeah.
is going to be going in on him?
Yeah, I saw in another article that apparently Trump himself isn't directly implicated, which
yeah.
I think is very interesting, how you can like pin things on the company and not the people running the company.
Corporations are people, Jeremy.
Yeah,
you must have forgot.
Sorry. I'm just denying their humanity. yeah, but Donald Trump himself isn't specifically implicated, but he could be if more evidence is turned up.
I hope he is.
I really hope he is,
That'd
too.
That'd be gas. Jury selection begins in October.
Getting him for tax fraud, getting him for revealing national security interests to our enemies,
mm-hmm.
Getting him for trying to overturn an election sounds good to me.
Maybe him in jail. Like, when are you going to reveal your taxes? Inshallah. Well, mashallah, brother. Allah's willed it.
Mashallah, brother. It's time.
Allah's willed it.
My brother in Christ, it's time. It's time. In a separate New York case, though, another one from New York, Trump sat for a deposition where he's being accused of his company. I don't know if it's the same one, but one of his companies.
I don't know. In the shit I read, it just said the Trump company.
Yeah.
I think they do all their things under the Trump company. Like, that's the parent company to the other things.
The best name I've ever heard of.
Fags.
Anyway, he sat for a deposition where his company is being accused of misleading lenders and tax authorities about his asset values. And he apparently pled the fifth 400 times. That's more than 400 crazy. Times.
That's dedication right there.
That is, yeah. No, bro's just like, sorry, I'm going to criminalize myself if I tell you this information.
God.
That is absolutely crazy. I think it's a very normal and healthy thing for our democracy that a former president, just the one right before the current one, is being implicated in multiple crimes in multiple states. I think that's really cool.
That's dope.
I love that a former president.
Day of reckoning on God.
A criminal. Can't wait to see how this unfolds. I would not be surprised, and dear listener, you shouldn't be surprised, if Trump dodges all of this and wins re-election.
It's
honestly
crazy.
Winning re-election seems like his only chance of dodging all of this.
It's just crazy because, especially with the lying about asset values thing to lenders, that's been a thing that the Trump, like, company, I guess, Trump brand, Trump company has been famous for literally decades. Mm-hmm. Like, people knew they would go and buy up properties just to fucking destroy their values, lie about their values to get new loans, and just keep doing shit like that. They're kind of like, y'all know how you get when you have billions and billions of dollars and how all the illegal things you do, but it's been widely known.
Oh, yeah.
And now he's finally getting it?
Maybe.
Every dog has its day, hopefully.
Let's hope. Let's hope we get him. Let's hope people in New York twice. In Georgia and the FBI all get him on charges. Because
triple
that'd be goated. That'd be goated. Moving on, though.
Okay.
To some Florida news. I got two stories out of Florida this week.
Gas. Absolute gas coming out of Florida this week.
You might be able to call this one Beyond Parody.
Ooh.
Because this this section is absolutely fucking insane. It gets progressively more insane as we go on. Just keep that in mind. So as we have seen in Florida, really just across the country, teachers have been treated fairly poorly in the last few years. Mm-hmm. I mean, always, really, they've always been paid
very low.
There's
a pretty big teacher shortage specifically right now going on in Florida. I believe it's either, I think it's 8,000, they're short 8,000 teachers and 6,000 like auxiliary staff members.
Right, yeah. So in Florida specifically, they're having a shortage, but also really just throughout the country, teachers have suffered, especially these last few years.
Right now,
trying to deal with COVID regulations.
It's a horrible fucking time to be a teacher. Not even with the regulations, just politically.
Oh, yeah.
Politically, it's awful. I read an article by like NPR's Austin, Texas station about just how bad teachers got it down there. Mm-hmm. And parents are just going nuts talking about CRT and LGBTQ alphabet mafia shit being taught to their kids in schools. Teachers can't fucking do anything. And they're yelling at the teachers who don't decide the curriculum.
Yeah.
Instead of the school boards that they elect that decide them, but now they're getting on the school boards and being fucking tyrants on there.
Insane.
It's nuts. No wonder nobody wants to be a teacher. Like, there's the shit going on in Austin, just Texas in general, the country in general. I know it's happening in Virginia, literally all over the place. And then teachers in, I believe, Columbus, Ohio just authorized a strike.
Yeah.
Like, a week before school started, which is gas, because they're complaining about class sizes being too big, which class sizes are absolutely too big. They've just only been ballooning. They want to get their class sizes down to 28, which I feel like is still
already a lot.
It's still a very large number, right? That's still a lot to deal with for these individual teachers. And they just want heating and cooling in the buildings.
You're asking for too much.
On God. They're talking about having adequate learning conditions, which you absolutely just need. Like, come on now.
I remember maybe this was last year, 2 years ago, the Chicago Teachers Union.
Yeah.
They were on strike for quite a while because of COVID regulations specifically. And it was bizarre to me that parents, specifically conservative parents, were painting them as like enemies of children, enemies of the state, enemies of their families, even though teachers and their learning or their teaching conditions are directly related to the conditions that students will learn in.
Mm-hmm.
If teachers are being treated better and they get more of what they need, your student will receive a better education.
Yeah.
Why would they not be staunchly on the side of teachers?
Oh, yeah, no. Parents are absolutely pissed about this in Ohio talking because now they're saying they're going to start classes online with all substitutes, which is just nuts, bro.
Crazy.
Just wait a week.
Yeah.
Or hear me out. Just give them what they want.
Yeah.
They were talking about also an 8% raise over the next 3 years, and they're like, how about 2.5?
God damn. Not even matching inflation.
How about 2.5%? Not even close over to the next inflation. 3 years. That's crazy. They were talking about that. And it's like, yeah, how are you supposed to learn when you're fucking sweating your balls off in class all day? Nobody can learn in an environment like that. This is all pro kid.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Speaking about not learning, though.
Ooh.
In Florida, teachers have had it pretty bad. Specifically in Florida, they've had it very rough. Of course, we've talked about the Don't Say Gay bill before and the Don't Say Gay law because it's been signed into law. Prevents teachers from having pride flags, having pictures of their same-sex spouse on their desk, prevents them from, or forces them to out gay students to their parents, doesn't let teachers use preferred pronouns even if the parent signs onto it because they have to use their birth pronouns, whatever the fuck that means.
During the height of the COVID crisis, Ron DeSantis said, no masks whatsoever in school. Nuts.
Yeah, and as Gage mentioned, there's a teacher shortage in Florida. I wonder why. But there's a teacher shortage, and instead of treating them better, paying them more, just listening to their concerns
giving
as workers,
as
public servants, DeSantis has moved to hire unqualified veterans to teach in schools rather than actually paying the teachers adequately and treating them like human beings that are educating our youth.
I love it. Didn't he say some corny shit like, the kids stand up and say the Pledge of Allegiance every day?
I have it right here. About the program, Ron DeSantis said, quote, every morning, our students recite the Pledge of Allegiance while looking at the Star-Spangled Banner. And it's fitting that the teacher in the classroom is somebody who took the oath and put his or her life on the line to preserve, protect, and defend our flag and the freedom it represents.
That's right, brother.
That is the most bootlicker thing I've ever heard.
That's the biggest virtue signal I've ever heard.
He put the entire boot in his mouth. He swallowed it. He's one with the boot now. The boot is inside of him, and he likes it like that. You know what I'm saying?
That's kinky.
So the program was announced last week by Ron DeSantis, and it gives veterans a 5-year temporary teaching license if they meet the following criteria.
5 years, okay.
5-year temporary teaching license. One, they have to have 60 college credits with at least a 2.5 GPA.
That's not even an associate's degree.
That's like maybe
an
halfway.
Associate's degree, maybe, if that's what you went for.
Yeah, because the idea behind this program is they have to be working on finishing college, but they can teach while they're getting their first bachelor's degree. Which is at a 2.5 GPA, is crazy.
Oh, my God,
2.5 GPA. They have to have a passing score on a test in a subject they want to teach. So if you want to teach math, you got to pass the math test, yada, yada. They have to have been honorably or medically discharged from the military after at least 48 months of service. And they have to pass a background check. That's it.
That's crazy. All you got to do to be a teacher in the state of Florida is, one, sell your body to the United States government, and two, pass a times table. That's it, dog.
No,
you just got to solve these 50 multiplication problems in 3 minutes.
Right. Because imagine,
you're good.
Imagine, you know, this somebody wants to teach like second graders.
Yeah.
The math test ain't going to be that hard, dog. And there's a big difference. There's a huge difference between passing a test and knowing how to teach it to people whose brains are developing.
When you only need a 2.5. When you only need to see, I can tell you, high school, like sophomore year, I got a fucking like 72 on my logarithms exam in Algebra 2. I still don't know how to do logs, right? I 4.0'd Calc 1 and Calc 2. Still don't really know how to do logs. I could not teach anything related to that.
Let alone teach somebody, right?
Literally.
Younger people.
Like, I could barely teach myself. You think I'm going to be able to teach somebody else like how to do calculus? I couldn't even teach Algebra 2.
Right.
That's just hard.
This is insane for a couple of reasons. Number one, just to fucking pay teachers more, dog.
Oh, yeah.
Just pay teachers more. Number two, as we mentioned, passing a test on a subject, far different than actually being able to teach a subject, especially to, like, you know, kids that, one, probably don't want to learn, especially if it's math, or two, kids that have brains that are still developing and don't really understand what you're saying because you yourself don't understand how to fucking teach it because you're not a qualified teacher. Number three, qualified teachers, you know, people that actually go to school for this stuff, go to school for a very long time.
Oh, yeah.
Just to learn how to teach one specific subject before they even maybe get hired into a school district that they want.
Uh-huh.
It is a very long and very rigorous process. And if you have a teacher shortage, that doesn't mean you just let unqualified people start teaching the youth. That's crazy.
Well, unqualified, Jeremy, veterans.
They served our country.
Veterans, thank you. They have leadership capabilities.
Yeah, I mean, once you go and clean the floors in Afghanistan for 4 years or whatever, you suddenly are qualified to do any job, apparently.
For real, you got leadership ability.
And my last point here is that... What?
Imagine not standing for the pledge. Because, like, my senior year of high school, I stopped standing for the pledge. I was like, this shit is corny. Yeah. I'm not doing it anymore, right? I can't imagine doing that if my teacher's just a veteran. They, fresh out of Afghanistan, fresh out of college, fresh out of Afghanistan. They were in Kabul and they dipped out, right?
In Florida?
Come straight to Florida from Kabul to start teaching me math, and I don't stand. I'm the sexual tension there.
They're going to put you in the fucking full Nelson if you're not careful. Now, look, my last point here. Is that we're all for veteran jobs programs, right?
Those are great.
Yeah, no, those are excellent. Veterans absolutely deserve a place in our society, a job that they can do when they get back from serving our country. Absolutely. We have no problem with that. But not at the expense of qualified teachers
yeah.
that deserve to be paid better.
Ooh.
Because they're basically being scabs is what they're doing. And not at the expense of students, because teachers have one of the most important jobs of the world, the most important job in the world. And our children should be educated by people that know what they're doing, by people that have studied the subject and know how to do it for them.
Like,
how is this not just a glorified substitute teacher? And you know, absolutely. When you have a substitute teacher, you don't do anything serious.
It's shit.
Yeah.
It's shit. Even when you have a long-term sub, like even when your teacher goes on maternity leave and you have like an 8-month sub or something, still not shit.
Yeah.
Like, you're not doing anything that year. That year's a wash, dog. Uh-huh.
No, literally. Yeah. Like, it's just insane that we would, not Ron DeSantis would replace teachers with people he knows are unqualified, because it's a virtue signal is what it is.
100%.
It's just a virtue signal.
Like, it's like, and it's funny because it's easy to like think about how they'll get into like, oh, your science teacher's a vet now. They passed a science exam. They passed a math exam. What about like your lit teachers now?
Yeah.
They're going to get in here and start teaching you just the wrong interpretations of a bunch of classic American novels.
Right.
Great Gatsby's about ethical wealth.
Yeah. No, and that's exactly what it is it's getting people that are very clearly committed to the U.S. project and the U.S. ideology, American exceptionalism and all that. It's getting them to come in and teach students that are young and impressionable, and yet they call us the people who are indoctrinating kids.
Oh, yeah.
They call teachers who, like, I don't know, support the LGBTQ to be the ones that are indoctrinating. They call teachers that acknowledge that MLK wasn't liked by everybody. Someone who is teaching CRT and indoctrinating our students. But bringing in veterans that are clearly unqualified just to go along with what Ron DeSantis wants kids to believe, that's not indoctrination.
American history, it's about to all be World War II.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. Your whole year, it's just World War II, baby. Memorize these dates.
Uh-huh.
Memorize these guns. Take apart and put together a rifle in 30 seconds.
You should be skeptical of politicians that want to make future generations dumber.
Oh, for sure.
You should be very skeptical. For like, sure. Why would you want to undermine education? Why would you want students to stop thinking for themselves or be educated by people that clearly don't know what they're talking? Like, you want to take us backwards. That's what you want to do.
I think you should also be very skeptical of politicians and judges, more specifically, who think that a 16-year-old is mature enough to have and raise a child.
Boy.
More mature enough to do that, but not mature enough to get an abortion.
Yeah.
That's right, folks.
We're moving on.
Oh, yeah.
To another Florida story. The Gauge basically just summed it up. A 16-year-old is being forced to go through with a pregnancy. But let's get some context.
Of course.
Let's get some context.
Crucial context.
Very crucial context. So for a long time, there's been a Florida law that requires minors to have the consent of their parent or guardian in order to get an abortion, which is already crazy.
Yeah.
Already insane.
Just do it.
Off of bat, this is a bad step.
Facts.
In 2020, Ron DeSantis doubled down on this law, made it stricter, and it now requires minors to have written, notarized consent of a legal guardian.
Notarized
consent.
You got just another cost on that. Notaries are expensive.
Yeah.
Notaries are hard to get, hard to schedule.
And earlier this year, Ron DeSantis and his Republican psycho legislature passed a ban on abortion after 15 weeks, which is currently in effect. It's being challenged in court, but right now it's in effect. No stay has been put on it. Well, in Florida, as we mentioned, a 16-year-old girl who is parentless, lives with an appointed guardian, is seeking an abortion and sought a waiver for the rule that requires the guardian to sign off on this kind of decision. The minor, right now, she's pursuing a GED. She's not currently employed.
Yeah.
And she said that the father is not available to help with the child. So
crazy. Okay.
Every aspect of her circumstance, of her situation, is working against
destitute.
Her. Yeah, not good. And she said that she's not ready to be a mother because she herself is a fucking child.
Uh-huh.
The court denied her waiver, and the court said that she, quote, had not established by clear and convincing evidence that she was sufficiently mature to decide whether to terminate her pregnancy.
You're lying. Like, she can't even consent yet.
Yes.
But yet she can just be a mother?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not mature enough to get an abortion, not mature enough to make that decision about your body, but mature enough to give birth to a child, go through pregnancy for 9 months and give birth, and then possibly be forced to raise that child.
fucking
ridiculous.
Oh my God.
Like how she's obviously considering the factors, right? She's considering her situation. She's working on a GED. She's not employed. The father's not available to help. How else is she supposed to demonstrate that she has the mental capacity to make this kind of decision if she's not already thinking through her situation?
She literally told you exactly why the logical steps she took to get here. I'm unemployed. I physically cannot care for this child. Mm-hmm. There is no possible way that I can care for myself and a child right now.
Yeah.
Insane. We will adopt your baby.
Here is just another example of a minor attempting to navigate a judicial system, specifically Florida in this case, probably getting confused because the law is fucking confusing.
Oh, yeah.
And the judge tells her, while she's doing this on her own, that she is not mature enough to make this decision about her body.
Wild.
Like, is this not dystopia? Like, is this not just fucking like, how can you, even if you're pro-life, look at the situation and tell me that's okay?
Oh, yeah.
And tell me that, like, the government, all the, I don't know, appendages, apparatuses of the government making this decision for a 16-year-old girl is okay.
But Jeremy, I don't think you understand. Two wrongs don't make a right.
Oh, of course.
Two wrongs don't make a right. You can't just do something bad because something bad happened to you.
Facts.
What are you thinking?
You're so right.
What
are you thinking? You're so right. The judge also said that she may be able to appeal the ruling, but the clock is ticking on this because at the time the story dropped, she was already 10 weeks pregnant.
Nuts. So appeals take so fucking long.
Well, they take long. By the time you hear this, she's probably further along in her, further along in the process of pregnancy.
Yeah.
And abortion is illegal after 15 weeks. So she's literally just going to be forced to go through with having this birth because I guarantee you, she doesn't live with her parents. She doesn't have a job. She's in school right now trying to get a GED. She's not going to be able to afford to go to another state and get an abortion.
Oh, no,
especially if she lives in, like, South Florida. You're fucked. Oh, Florida's huge.
It's long.
Yeah.
Long as fuck.
It's a big state. Like, what are you supposed to do? Like, this is the judicial system in Florida telling a child, basically, fuck you, suffer. Crazy.
Eat shit, die.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. First of all, parental consent laws, or laws that require a parent's consent for abortion, only support abusive parents.
Oh, yeah. So fucking dumb. What does the parent have to do with it?
Right.
I understand, like, what the parent would have to do with it if you wanted to have a child and you were young, because financial support and everything. But what does parent have to do with the decision to not get a child?
Right.
Like, you're old enough to think for yourself at that point.
Yeah. No, like, all these laws do is protect abusive parents because they get to do whatever they want. Like, the child has absolutely no decision in what happens with their body.
Yeah.
And this just protects parents that happen to be abusive, or perhaps parents that are maybe the ones that got her pregnant to begin with.
Yeah.
If we're talking about really bad edge situations. So not great. And also, second thing here, it baffles me how, like, this could even be a legal reasoning. Like, how, like, this person is a judge that made this decision.
Yeah, they went through fucking law school.
Top legal mind.
Got a judgeship. Went to judge school. It's very accomplished. Had to have done very well in school.
Yeah. And you're ruling based on the laws that have been given to you from the state legislature and the Constitution. Your ruling is that this child isn't mature enough?
Crazy.
Where's that codified into the law?
Crazy.
How are you making that assumption?
Literal common sense right conclusion? There. How am I not supposed to walk around with an inflated ego when motherfuckers like this
exist?
Made it so far in society?
Yeah. Yeah. Not mature enough to get an abortion, but mature enough to be a mother. Someone explain that fucking shit to me.
God damn.
That's insane.
Let's say that while we're still on abortion, you want to talk about Louisiana?
Yeah.
Oh my God. This shit is absolutely nuts. So, like, what the gist of it is, the Louisiana Attorney General is choosing to deny flood relief funds to the city of New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Because
they're famous for not dealing with floods very well.
Yeah. Famous for having lots of floods.
Famous for when the levees fail, a lot of people suffer.
Is denying flood relief funds to New Orleans because New Orleans isn't enforcing the state's abortion ban, which I don't know exactly how strict the abortion ban is, but, like, shout out New Orleans, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, New Orleans, famous.
Yeah.
Famous for suffering under these things.
Attorney General just said, you know, if there's a flood that happens and you're not enforcing this, no, here's what he's saying. He's saying, if you don't enforce this abortion law, I'm going to kill people.
No, literally. He's saying, you know what? If you don't force this abortion law and save the lives of, I don't know, like 100 babies, I'm going to kill all 370,000 residents of New Orleans. I am personally going to open up the floodgates. The rapture will come by my hand. That's nuts.
Yeah, and, like, Republicans have the audacity to tell us that Democrats like playing politics with people's lives at any time in the political process. Like, of course, Democrats do it to some extent.
Of course.
Like, and we could probably point out times when they've done it. But Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're getting this crazy. You're going this crazy over an abortion law. And it's like, you'll eventually get them to concede.
For New Orleans, too, that's the most optically yeah. worst place to deny flood relief to.
Yeah.
Everybody remembers Hurricane Katrina. There are so many documentaries that come out like all the fucking time about how bad that situation was, how racist that situation was, how racist this decision is in of itself.
Yeah.
Like, dog.
Gotta be racially motivated. Bro said, if you don't stop killing these babies, I'm gonna kill you.
He's playing God. You better build an ark.
Yeah, pro-life, except when it comes to people that don't have enough health care, people that live in poverty, can't afford food, people that get evicted, people that, you know, die from COVID. but pro-life for, not even pro-life for the person carrying a fetus, though.
Facts.
Pro-life only for the fetus, and then when it comes out, you got it.
Exactly. The AG really just said here, you know what, even though the city government here is the one that's not enforcing the ban, I'm going to punish every single fucking resident.
Right.
It's like when Democrats like Marcus Diapollo were on TikTok, on the timeline, complaining about Democrats in Texas when the cold snap happened.
Yeah.
And people were literally dying because it was so cold in Texas. They're like, oh, you voted for this.
Right.
Like, no, they did not.
Yeah.
No, they did not. You shouldn't be punishing average citizens for this.
Yeah, you're punishing average citizens for, like, people pushing back on a law that you knew they would push back on.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, you're going to get them to concede eventually.
The whole country is pushing back on these laws. Like let's be real.
There's other ways that the state can force localities to adhere to state law.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to withhold necessary infrastructure funding to ensure that people don't die in a future flood. In a place like New Orleans that we know is prone to having floods that hurt a lot of people. Like, come on. It's just, it's insane. Republicans are willing to kill people. To get their agenda through.
Gotta love it.
They're willing to kill people in order to kill more people.
I need some of that vigor to come from, like, the Democrats, you know?
Hey, I mean, we saw a glimpse of it when they pulled that fast one on national congressional Republicans.
Equal things right there.
But not quite.
Making a legislative deal.
Crazy. When we talk about the government stomping all over bodily autonomy and being dystopian, this is literally it.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, like, this is unacceptable.
When we talk about conservatives, it just it makes me really think, and honestly, it makes me mourn for the loss of one of the good ones.
Oh, shit.
Liz Cheney.
Segways are crazy today.
What can I say? Liz Cheney just got packed up in her race
to a
more pro-Trump Republican.
That's right. Last week in Wyoming's primary for their one House seat.
Uh-huh.
Statewide House seat.
just one.
Just one. Because, you know, there's nobody else in Wyoming, just a couple people. Liz Cheney lost to her opponent, Harriet Hageman, 66% to 29%.
Damn,
so I guess Hageman got two votes and Cheney got one vote. The electorate's very small.
Tight race.
Massive loss, especially in a place like Wyoming, where Liz Cheney, or just the Cheney name in general, is fucking huge.
Uh-huh.
You got Dick Cheney.
Cheney. You gotta love that guy.
You got generations upon generations of Cheneys coming out of Wyoming.
Generations of war criminals just ready to go.
And Liz Cheney, she got absolutely packed up. Of course, obviously, Liz Cheney lost because she didn't fall in line behind Donald Trump with the rest of the GOP. You've seen some people arguing like, oh, that's not why she lost. She didn't lose because she didn't fall in line.
Yeah, she lost because she couldn't win the hearts and minds of the Wyoming electorate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that one guy.
And, like, we know that she lost because she didn't fall in line with Trump because, one, Hageman previously, the person who beat her, was previously a Trump critic in 2016.
Oh, nice.
She called him racist
and
sexist.
Just like Ben Shapiro.
But now she's fallen in line and she won the endorsement and won the race. And also, only 2 out of the 10 Republicans who voted to impeach Trump won in their primaries.
Only 2 out of the 10 Republicans that voted in the Wyoming primary.
So, Liz Cheney, she got packed up. Also, little side note on Cheney here. In an interview, she said that she would consider running for president in 2024.
Shut the fuck up. Oh, my God, bro.
That's beyond parody right there, brother. That's beyond parody. Yeah, I don't know what reality she lives in where she thinks that she can win in a race against Donald Trump.
Everyone hates her.
Yeah.
Who's going to vote for her? Moderate Democrats?
Like, I can't even think of a possible political situation, a possible political climate in 2024 where she could possibly win in a Republican primary.
Her target demographic is the people that like Joe Manchin.
You think she'd run as a Democrat? You think so? You You think she would switch and be, or like Joe Biden steps down and she runs?
I feel like Kamala Harris. I feel like she'd be spineless enough to do something like that. That'd be so funny.
And I feel like the Democratic establishment would eat it up.
Oh, they love her. Yeah. They love her so much. So many people were so sad about her loss. And it's like, I kind of get it. But she voted with the party most of the time.
And that was the point I was going to make, is that, like, yeah, of course she, you know, did the right thing, voted to impeach Donald Trump. She's helped out with the January 6th committee.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else, she'll vote against the Democrats.
Oh, yeah. She's got the same record as, like, Mitt Romney.
Right. The Inflation Reduction Act, she voted against that.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure she voted against all kinds of other good measures,
too. You never hear about her when you talk about the senators who voted against the good bills. Uh-huh. It's always like Liz Cheney, soldier for democracy, when she's going against Trump.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, hot take maybe.
Okay.
I feel like the bar shouldn't be not doing treason. I feel like you don't deserve to be celebrated for not doing treason.
Absolutely not.
You know what
Absolutely
I mean?
Absolutely not. The only reason to be sad about Liz Cheney's loss is the fact that someone even more deranged is now going to be running for in office. Pretty much. Is it a close? I don't know. No, Wyoming's
Democrats not going to win. Democrats not going to win. The three people are going to vote against the Democrat.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That makes sense.
It's like, I mean, you win a primary in like a city.
Yeah. Know, it's the like there are three support. Conservatives, two Democrats.
Right.
In the state.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. You know, like the Republican obviously is going to win here. So Harriet Hageman's basically just going to be in the seat come November come next year. But yeah, no, it's undeniable that Liz Cheney lost because of Trump. And there's absolutely no way that she could win in a Republican primary Trump.
It's crazy. Like, it's not even, it doesn't take that much to think that that's why, especially after we saw what happened to Matt Gaetz. R.I.P. Yeah. my boy.
Yeah.
R.I.P. my boy Matt Gaetz after he lost.
Madison Cawthorn?
Matt
Gaetz is actually a free man in the Republican Party. Shouldn't be.
Shouldn't be. Shouldn't be walking around.
I feel like anytime we say Matt Gaetz, it's got to be accompanied with a little bit of that.
A little bit. No, of course, Madison Cawthorn. My favorite Republican, with his loss.
My favorite truth teller.
On God, his loss being explicitly because he talked about GOP orgies.
Yeah,
which no one really cared about.
Yeah,
like nobody cared about that fucking news except for the people who got embarrassed.
That shit was hilarious.
The people
though.
Who got a little red in the face were all the ones who funded all these. The other guy.
We had a pod named after it.
We have a whole merch line named after it.
Yeah, we literally do. Coordinated Drift Campaign. Check it out on headintheoffice.com.
We will continue to name our merch line after it.
Yeah, exactly. But like, here's the thing. Is that the Republican Party as a whole, conservatives in general, part of their whole ideology is built around falling in line. Yeah. They care about hierarchies, they care about authority, and they care about listening to authority, partly because they're submissive and, and that's just how they
submissive
are.
Submissive and breedable. And
I wouldn't say breedable.
They are a little kinky.
They are submissive and they will always adhere to authority. They'll always adhere to, or they'll always obey authority, you know, because that's exactly what they did in 2016. When everyone was against Donald Trump, literally everyone on the Republican ticket was like, anybody but Donald Trump. We'll come behind anyone but Donald
Ted
Trump.
Ted Cruz, Ben Shapiro.
Wet ass P-word.
You know what I'm saying? They fucking hated that guy. Ted Cruz ran against him. Donald Trump called his wife ugly.
Yeah.
And now he's sitting there.
And they all fell directly in line with Donald Trump.
Uh-huh.
And they all support him to this day, even when he is openly doing things that they may say that they don't like, or he is openly just doing things like being racist, being misogynistic, overturning democracy.
Ted Cruz called January 6th a terrorist attack, like on Twitter, in interviews, like 6 different times, until the establishment got mad at him. Then he walked it all back, saying that those were like, I was using my words unwisely or something shit like that.
Anytime a demagogue or an authoritarian or just like a strong charismatic personality takes grip of the right wing, everyone else is going to coalesce behind them.
Yeah.
Because they only understand political power and what it can deliver them.
That's all they want.
They don't care about anything else. That's why they're so focused on the culture war. They're not focused on actual issues because all they want is political power.
Mm-hmm.
And they think Donald Trump will deliver it for them. And he will. He has before.
Oh, absolutely. And his endorsement goes so long, as we've seen throughout this whole primary season.
Why do you think like nobody gets behind Ted Cruz?
Yeah.
Because nobody likes him.
Like
he's an uncharismatic hemorrhoid of a human that nobody thinks can actually get political power for the conservatives.
And everyone in the Senate hates him.
Yeah.
Like he has an awful approval rating amongst them. Mitch McConnell, 13% approval rating in his home state, yet he somehow still wins. Fucking no, but it's like, how could somebody like Tudor Dixon win a primary in a normal political climate? Like, that's nuts. I feel like Big Gretch is going to take it November. I'm praying Big Gretch takes it in November. But someone like Tudor Dixon should never have gotten that far in the political process. They should have been weeded out a long time ago.
Right. Like, these aren't like small government fiscal fiscally responsible conservatives. Like, yeah. That's not who we're dealing with anymore.
Oh, no.
These are extremists that want to, I don't know, get rid of trans people.
Mm-hmm.
They want to get rid of the LGBTQ as a whole.
Murder.
quote-unquote, destroy the left. Get CRT out of our schools. They don't have any actual platform. They don't have any actual policy.
Get rid of all the radical communists in the government. Right. Every single one of them.
Like what do they actually want?
Yeah.
Like, what is their policy platform? I haven't seen anything from them.
Low gas prices, but not when it's a bill that I'm happy to vote for.
Right. Everything that they say that they support, lowering costs for consumers or making gas cheaper or lowering taxes, et cetera, if the Democrats do it, they don't support it.
It's all a fucking grift.
Because, again, all they understand is getting political power. That's all they want.
They're so submissive. Conservatives love all of conservatives talk about, like, oh my God, Democrats are so sexually degenerate when they're the kinkiest ones out of all of us.
Yeah.
You know?
They're the ones doing the orgies, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
They're always preaching about how you need to be an individual and you need to stand up to the man. You need to not be a sheep. And then they all just casually fall in line behind Donald Trump.
You think maybe Mitch McConnell was so mad at Joe Manchin because he like betrayed him like legislatively. I don't think he gives a shit about that. You think he like got so close to them that Joe Manchin got a little invite?
Oh,
he might have got a little invite to the Senate orgies, and he went, and then he double crossed him after that.
Shit, he went.
And Mitch McConnell, they had a moment.
He went. He got some play, right?
Uh huh.
They had an intimate moment,
a little moment,
and then he turned around the next day in the Senate and was like, "Yeah, I support Chuck Schumer on this bill."
Mitch caught feelings,
and Mitch caught feelings, and bro was like, damn, you switched
fuck,
up. You
what's
switched
going up on? Like
that. And then now he's not invited to the orgies anymore. Maybe I got it wrong. Their ideology is not based on political power.
It's motivated by orgies.
It's based on who gets invites to the orgies.
They're so kinky.
Fuck, they got us beat, dog. They're 10 steps ahead of us at all time.
We figured it out, though.
Mitch Coffee, bro.
We caught up. We caught up to him.
Fuck. Anyways. That's the last story I got. You got anything for the pod?
That's all I got.
For the episode. Well, we appreciate you all for listening, but before we go,
of course,
we got to give a special thanks to our very loyal patrons.
The congregation.
The congregation.
Thanks
for
your tips.
The people that make it happen. Speaking of congregation, did you see this? I think we talked about this already.
Okay.
There's this tweet. I can't remember who did it, but I think it might have been Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz, probably Kevin Sorbo, somebody like that.
Bro was like, the left is so afraid of prayers because of how powerful it is or something. Goated tweet. They're right. We got to give a special thanks to the people that pray for us.
On God, pray
it's a
for
powerful
us
tool.
With their wallet. Tithes, you know what I mean? Give Hitto 10% of your income to be a part of the church.
Yeah, prayers have really work to stop school shootings and other things. But to the people that pray for us, special thanks to Cricket Scrap Book Layouts, Nikki Nine Lives, Caden Kraut, Lord T, Chris the Postman, Christy Beck, Talia Katz, 40% Spite, Andrew Harris, Mike Chaplinsky, Mattias T, John G, the B Plot, Omar Zuno, Clayton Lafort, Ash Fairblood, Mark Yeager, Sarah McRoberts, Derek Messina, Dylan B, the Mind Sculptors, Kaz, Caleb Joy, Jim Bobs, Carl D, Rich Toro, Tari, Gavin Meyer, Maldonado, Hunter W, Fergalaki, Max Vasquez, Jacob Rogers, Colton Mooberry, Fixer Punk, Jim Egbers, Megan Latow, Jeff Muzzy, Ted Cruz's Boy Toy, and my mom. Thank you all for supporting the show on Patreon. If you want to get our episodes early, you got to go to Patreon. If you want to get your name shouted out, you got to go to Patreon.
Hit the big tier on the Patreon.
Get some of our coordinated drip campaign merch. That'd be cool.
Wear a shirt around.
Wear a shirt around. Tag us when you put the shirt on and post it on your Instagram stories.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Also, check out the Instagram because y'all aren't coming from the reels enough.
Come on.
Thanks for listening to the episode. We'll see y'all next week.
Have a great one.